You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rice is wide to the far side. Wilson takes a snap. Three-man run. Looking, scrambling. Now he's going to roll. Now he's going to stop and set. Back at the 40, lets it fly to the end zone. Going to give his guys a chance. Going up, coming down. Does he come down with it? Does Golden Tate have it? He's in the end zone. He has! Oh, my God, he's got it! Touchdown, Seahawks!
Just isn't fair. Oh, Biggs is right. I'm never going to get out of here. Is there anything I might do to help?
No, not unless you can alter time, speed up the harvest, or teleport me off this rock.
I don't think so, sir.
After further ado, the call on the field stands. Touchdown.
You've got to be kidding me.
That's unbelievable.
Not true. That's impossible.
There could be many bizarre things will do in the Fantasy Cantina today.
That was great.
Nothing will top what you just heard. Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, Elliot Harrison from NFL Fantasy Live here at the NFL Network and NFL.com. It's the Fantasy Cantina, which means anything goes. 888-XM-FANTASY, 888-963-2682 is your phone number. We're answering your questions. We're getting through big news items in the National Football League. And, guys, let's kick things off with this, something we didn't think we'd be talking about after Week 3. Perfect place for this in the cantina. Is there any way, not just this week, because you can't do it this week, but is there any way you can play Chris Johnson going forward? Can you put Chris Johnson in your lineup?
I think some people almost have to.
Texans this week.
I know.
And then
no
going forward.
No way.
I know.
No way.
I can't. Because
I mean, Who are you going to play if you're...
Anybody.
Anybody?
Alfred Morris.
So you'll play
Malcolm Floyd.
Bilal Powell.
I'll play Bilal Powell at my flex. It's like playing the same guy.
I'll play Cedric Benson over...
Well, no, I mean, that's... Yeah.
CJ.
But a lot of people don't have that option.
But there's options where if he turned into a flex, there's better options you have on your bench than Chris Johnson right now.
You don't think some people have Cedric Benson sitting on their bench? I mean, where does Cedric Benson go in drafts? I mean, we think of him now as a lead back because he's been playing.
Let me give you a scenario in one of my leagues.
Okay.
Chris Johnson was my late first round pick. My backs, I have Ahmad Bradshaw, who's hurt, Ryan Williams, Alfred Morris, and Jonathan Stewart, and Mark Ingram. And Ingram's garbage. They don't even play him. I have to play Chris Johnson. I have to.
But why would you think that
my wide receivers are stacked? But I have to play Chris Johnson.
I'm curious why you would think no one would have Cedric Benson on their bench.
No. I'm not saying that they don't. There's 30 million fantasy leagues
out
there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You've got to make a trade, Fabs.
Everyone
you need a running back bad.
Not everyone has that. That's the issue.
But here's the thing is people think Chris Johnson's Chris Johnson. Here you had a week where he threw his offensive line under the bus. If this wasn't going to motivate anybody, nothing would. They scored 44 points. In a game in which they scored 44 points, Chris Johnson ran for 26 yards. He's got, 55 yards rushing on the season?
He's terrible.
There's plenty of better guys out there. I'd play Anquan. You got Anquan Boldin on your team. I'd play him in my flex. I'd play Jonathan Stewart, if he's healthy, in my flex. So at least you know, all right, these guys can at least give me that.
It's unbelievable how bad he is.
It's
amazing. I mean, he was your top-rated running back.
I know.
We all thought.
I feel awful.
We all thought that he was going to be better. Right?
I got a good one for you, too. Before we went to break, you asked me, who would I play Ponder over?
Mm-hmm.
I'd play Ponder over Cam Newton at Atlanta.
Really?
I would.
That should be your bold prediction for Sunday show.
I would.
Save that for this week.
That should be your bold prediction.
I was the only one that got a bold prediction right this week. We were terrible.
As a group. I said,
humble
Darren
brag.
Hang on.
That's not a humble brag. I said, we were terrible, and I barely got mine
right. I said, Darren McFadden would be a top 5 fantasy running back. He was number 6.
You were wrong.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, you're wrong.
Sorry. Enjoy the 17 fantasy points he got. Your 18 fantasy points, what it was. Sorry. Okay, I'm okay with being wrong on that. But, yeah, bold prediction is something we do every Sunday on NFL Fantasy Live. It's on Red Zone channel. Or it's on NFL. It's on Red Zone. Get it right now. Time Warner, in case you missed that big news this week. NFL Network now on Time Warner, so you get it there. 8:30 to 10 Pacific time, 11:30 to 1. We get you set for every snap that you need to know about for Sunday. We make bold predictions like you heard Elliot talk about right there. Let's get to Luke in Virginia. Luke, you got a trade question. What do you got, sir?
Team PPR have been offered Jimmy Graham for Alfred Morris and Danny Amendola, a currently roster Pitt tight end.
So, first of all, Luke, I want you to know I saved your call for the cantina because we got to talk to Luke during the fantasy cantina. Graham for Amendola and Alfred Morris. Fabs? Mm.
I look
I
at can't
you.
Do it.
You're not happy.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it.
No. Can't do it.
This is, Luke, I think this is the guy offering you this trade trying to say, let me see what I can give up to get Jimmy Graham. Let me see if I can take two guys I grabbed off the waiver wire.
That's right.
And turn them into Jimmy Graham.
That's right. Luke, you remember when you were in the Dagobah system? and Yoda sent you around the corner to go confront your fears. So you went out there in the woods. It was dark. It was muggy.
Snakes.
You know.
Lizards.
Crickets on HGH. And
HGH on Dagobah?
Yeah, wow, there was Darth Vader, and you thought you took him out, and then you looked inside the helmet. What did you see? That's what's going to happen if you make this deal. Don't do it, Luke. Luke,
get
comma.
Jimmy Graham.
Don't do it. Keep him.
I would get Graham.
Oh, you would get Graham.
Oh, you're getting Graham.
I would get Graham, yeah.
Well, then never mind.
So you're the one who's doing the screw job on somebody else.
Never go ahead.
The other guy wants to do it.
Why didn't you say that? Then pick up the Emperor and throw him down the pipe there.
Shaft.
Down the pipe.
Yeah.
Or the shaft.
Give this other trade partner the shaft. You bet. Get Graham.
Absolutely.
All's fair in love and fantasy football.
You're darn skippy.
You know, look.
And by the way, hold on. I got to circle back.
Sure.
I got to circle back.
Yeah, you do a lot of circling.
I do.
Go ahead.
I do because I space and then I come back to it.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson. I went to one of my favorite little sports bars the other night. Bartender hands me his cell phone, goes, I have no idea what to do at running back. So I went on, I said, I didn't know how to use he wasn't using the best platform, which is NFL.com. I didn't know how to use the platform he was on. So I go, show me how to get to your waiver wire. He does. Ryan Williams is sitting there. I picked up Ryan Williams for him. Check your waiver wire. See if the kid is on there. I think Ryan Williams will be the number one guy on the back half of the schedule.
Did you get a free drink?
I always do.
Oh, okay. Wow, look at you. All right.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's the same bar that I go in and play Stratego on my iPad.
Stratego?
You go to a bar to play Stratego?
Huh? It was not Ping Taco.
That's your favorite place.
Really, you play Stratego on your iPad in a bar?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
I went in there a few
Stratego.
Weeks ago. I went in there a few weeks ago. It was about a month and a half ago, and I was really tired. I was going to do a little research.
But instead, you played Stratego.
So I played Stratego.
What a great break that must be from your regular life, playing Stratego indoors at home.
So there are two cute girls across the bar. This is the truth. And I hear the bartender say my name. I look up, and he goes, yeah, these girls want to know what you're doing on your iPad. I said, well, I'm playing Stratego. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, I handed it to him. So he handed it to the girls. So one of the girls tried to figure out how to play it. So they called me over to explain. So I explained to her how you don't ever want to get your spy killed in Stratego. You got to protect your spy. It's great.
Fabs, how would that work for you and I? If
she
you
took
and
me
I
to
went
Disneyland
to
for it.
Listen,
you were playing Stratego on your iPad in a bar, and you wound up getting a girl to take you to Disneyland.
Yeah, it was great. Never been to Disneyland. It was really great. Except we didn't get to go on the Matterhorn, which really was disappointing. Line was too long.
Never been to Disneyland?
I'd never been.
How can you say you're disappointed if you had all these years living in
Southern
California?
Because it looked
California
cool. I liked all the fake snow on it. It looked like where the Angels play, except better.
I've never been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland.
Never Disneyland?
Not here.
Oh, really?
No.
I go like five times a year. Because my daughter likes to go. Yeah,
she's a kid, yeah.
But Disneyland's, wow.
I haven't gone.
This is what happens in the Fantasy Cantina. 888-XM-FANTASY, 888-XM-FANTASY. Conversations start with Monday Night Football
Let's talk Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. Okay, here's from the game last night. We talked last hour about holding on to Aaron Rodgers, right? Now, being concerned about it, but it's more like a watch thing right now because Rodgers is really disappointed the first 3 weeks. Try to trade for him if you can. Keep him. and just and wait for him to bounce back. He's got a great matchup this week against the Saints. Fabs, right now, who are your quarterbacks you have rated over Aaron Rodgers? Who would you play over Aaron Rodgers?
For this week? Just this week?
Yeah, for just this week. Who do you have over Aaron Rodgers?
No one.
He's over RG3, over Matt Ryan this week, number one?
Saints stink. That's going to be such a shootout. Listen, everybody knows I love RG3. This week, I play Rodgers.
Okay, if Rodgers has a down week this week, will you be really concerned?
I don't have him on any of my fantasy teams, so no, I won't really be concerned.
Wow, but, way to go, Mr. One-Way Street. Very nice.
No, I won't be concerned. He's still got some matchups coming down the stretch. And again, people get all hung up on what this guy did last year, what this player did last year. Guess what? Rodgers was fantastic last year, probably not going to get there again. Drew Brees was fantastic last year, probably not going to get there again. Still going to put up excellent numbers. Rob Gronkowski, he didn't do anything last week, right? You have to temper your expectations. Cam Newton, we said this all along. These guys put up ginormous bananas stats last season, and it's going to be real hard to duplicate
them. Can I hang on? Let me just say this. All right, Cam Newton played Tampa Bay, played the Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
And played the Giants.
Had a good game against the Saints.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a pretty mediocre to easy sledding for him. Aaron Rodgers played the 49ers, the Bears, and the Seahawks. Three of the top five defenses in the National Football League in his first three games. Tap the break, okay? Aaron Rodgers' schedule gets a lot easier from here, okay? Go through any quarterback in football schedule. The first 3 weeks, Jason, no one played the triumvirate of the 49ers, Bears, and Seahawks defense 3 weeks in a row.
Elliot Harrison says tap the brakes, but we got Mike in Indy that has a big trade offer coming off on Monday Night Football. Mike, what's your offer?
Yeah, I got offered Dennis Pitta and Cedric Benson for Jermichael Finley and Brandon Lloyd.
Do it.
Wow, that's pretty quick, Harrison.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
All right. There you look at Elliot Harrison. Jumping right to it. What do you like it?
Why do I like it? I like it because I've through preseason – and through 3 weeks, Dennis Pitta is a big part of that offense in Baltimore. They keep going after him. He had a touchdown against New England, and I think through the first 2 weeks, he had 24 targets, which was like fifth most in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw enough from Cedric Benson in Seattle. How do you slow down a pass rush? You run the football. Yeah, Cedric Benson may not have wowed you with numbers, but they're playing up in Seattle. He was very effective. Again, this is where it helps watching the games. Cedric Benson showed me that he's going to be an every down back for them. Does that mean he runs for 1,500 yards? No. But it means that he's on the field, that he'll catch some passes for you. And in a fantasy football league or a situation where we can't ever find enough good running backs and guys like Kevin Smith get zero carries for you in week three, you could plug Cedric Benson into your flex.
Here's what I like about the deal is that Pitta is a guy that's getting the attention. Benson is on the way up. Jermichael Finley, if you're not nervous about Aaron Rodgers, you have to be nervous about his weapons because none of the guys have been even close to what they were a year ago. Same thing now, Brandon Lloyd in New England. He's not been what they expect him to be. Brady is spreading the ball around.
Yeah, you know what? Lloyd hasn't been terrible.
Yeah, but he hasn't been
what
we thought he was
going to be. He's been pretty good, but he just hasn't scored. I think that's going to change this week. I think he scores this week.
Since we're in the cantina here, too, let me just throw out a couple of other opinions that I need to get out while we're in the cantina because I can't do it later. Can we quit remaking good horror movies and just leave the original ones alone? I watched The Fog last night, the original one. It's so good. Why'd they have to redo it?
You know what movie I watched this week was Cabin in the Woods.
Wasn't that awesome? I told you to
number
watch
one,
that like
3 months ago. Number
one,
the blonde in that movie is smoking hot, but it was the funkiest horror movie that you'll ever see. It's very strange.
Cabin in the Woods was so good. It's so different. Joss Whedon is the guy who did it, who did Buffy and all that stuff on TV the last few years. But it was done so differently. There were so many funny lines in it. And it's one of those movies that it's going to open up and you're watching it and you go, did I rent the right movie or am I in the right theater? Because it doesn't open up how any horror movie you've
it's
ever
totally
seen
strange.
Opens up. I'm like, oh my God. It opens up with Bradley Whitford from
me.
The West Wing.
Don't tell me.
Just so you know you're in the right movie. It opens up with Bradley Whitford from The West Wing. And you're like, okay, no, all right, I'm in the right movie. Cabin in the Woods was so much fun.
Another movie that got remade, The Thing. The original one with Kurt Russell was great.
Wait a minute. No, that didn't get remade. That was actually
a
pretty
prequel.
Good. No, it was a
prequel to The Thing.
To the original Thing.
It's a prequel.
It was a
to
prequel to The Thing.
Right, prequel. Right. I thought it was good.
Oh, the thing was
The thing was better, though.
Oh, man. That scene when they, when they got them all tied up and they're testing the blood to see who's...
Oh, man.
Oh, that was so tense.
Do we have a caller on the line? I want a good horror movie suggestion that's a little under the radar. I want a deep sleeper.
You want a deep
sleeper? In a 12-team horror movie league.
You want one that it will gross you out for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds great. Go ahead.
You ready?
The Reanimator?
Human Centipede.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not seeing that.
Just that title. I'm not seeing anything called Human Centipede.
Disgusting.
I want to hear a caller suggestion for a deep sleeper horror movie in a 12-team league, half-point PPR.
All right, let's go to Justin in Boston. If he doesn't have that, at least he's got questions about some guys we were talking about just a couple of seconds ago. Justin, what do you got?
Hey, I got a trade question for you. I was offered my choice of LeSure or Morris and Eric Decker, and I'd be giving up Welker and Beck.
Welker and who?
Bennett.
Martellus Bennett.
Okay.
Yeah, Martellus Bennett.
If you need I love Michael LeSure.
Yeah.
I mean, and Eric Decker, I think he's going to be fine. He had a better game last week. Welker. The thing with Welker is, like, what scares me about Welker is that, okay, yeah, now he's sort of gangbusters and he's having a big game. And I benched him last week because he was horrible against the Ravens in his career. And, of course, that comes back to bite me in the keister. But when Hernandez comes back... And Edelman is healthy. Remember how Edelman left the game last week?
Yep.
What happens to Welker?
Yep.
Here's what I do. I wonder about that.
If I'm Justin, here's what I do. I go to my waiver wire. I see if Heath Miller is still sitting out there. I pick him up, and I make the deal.
But remember that...
you can't play Heath Miller this
week. Remember, Miller's off this week.
Fine.
So, right.
Fine. Okay. Fantasy future.
Yeah.
I know I'm probably in the minority on this, but I'm not in
Kyle
the minority.
Kyle Rudolph, too.
I'm not in the... But Rudolph, I think, has already been nabbed, in my opinion. But... I believe in what Matt Money Smith says on this deal. It's 1 week. Buys are 1 week. You know, like with your quarterback. If you start worrying about your bye week for a tight end, man, you're gonna have so much stress in your life. You need to watch The Human Centipede.
Well, it is. And actually, they came out with a sequel to that one, too.
Yeah. Human Millipede?
It was so... disgusting that it was in black and white. They couldn't show it in color. It was that disgusting.
Sleeper in a second. Just a little more on Welker is that Fabs and I, you and I have been talked about this for a couple weeks now, is that Welker disappeared and then Aaron Hernandez got hurt, and it was after that Welker caught his first pass of the game in week two, went up with 95 yards receiving. Did have a drop, but still had a pretty nice game. Had a really nice game last week with no Aaron Hernandez. So for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we know Aaron Hernandez is kind of a slow healer. He didn't come back last year the way. So you'll be good for Welker for the next 6 weeks or so. It's one of those front-loaded deals. You'll buy now, that's great, but you'll pay later because eventually Welker won't be putting up the numbers that he has once Hernandez gets back.
Is producer Rob Tuze available? Mm-hmm. I bet you Rob can pull me up a good one, Hellraiser 3.
Let me give you one first, and then Tuze can give us one. The Descent.
I saw Descent 2.
No, Descent 2 was absolutely awful. It was just a way to cash in on Descent 1. You need to see The Descent.
Okay. It's not on Netflix.
You need to see The Descent. And you need to see the way it ends, they change the ending for American audiences. So you have to watch the ending, and then you have to go watch the real ending on YouTube.
Okay.
So some studio executive says, oh, no, we can't end the movie that way. We got to end it this way. So they ended it differently, and I'm like... The other way was so great. And, so you got to watch it on YouTube.
All right, Tuz, what do you got?
The Descent is yours.
Well, if you guys want something, this is going to be right up your alley here. Remember, I don't know the year. I'm going to say like 88, 89. So it's right in your wheelhouse. Shocker. Megadeth was on the soundtrack.
Oh,
part
I
of the
remember
soundtrack.
That movie. That was that you,
you're
awful.
Looking for, no, you're, but you're
God.
Looking for under the radar. You're looking
I
for,
am.
You know, those sleeper horror picks. Shocker. Come on. Anytime you deal with the paranormal and a dead person, that's a horror movie, and that tweaks with people's brains. That's what's going to get people scared in the theaters.
You know, I thought, too, is that you were going to come with Rawhead Rex, but you didn't.
No, no, and if nothing else, just for the soundtrack alone, I figured you guys, of all people, would appreciate Shocker.
Oh, I remember that song.
I appreciate
some... No More Mr. Nice Guy. Come on.
Yep.
Oh, I remember that. I remember when that song was playing on the radio. What's the matter, Smith? You're making faces.
I just looked up The Human Centipede and what the plot of the movie is. Oh, my God.
It's
oh
terrible.
My God.
It is awful.
The second one, they say, was so awful they couldn't even release it. Oh.
Oh, Fabs, why would you bring that up?
I thought you were looking at my ex-girlfriend on Twitter.
Jeff Talley, who's one of our producers here, told me, he's like, Fabs, you got to watch The Human Centipede. I said, all right, I'll watch it.
No.
So I watched it.
Watch the trailer.
It was pretty disgusting.
Never
listened
to him
again.
And then
they came out with the second one, and it was the Morbid Curiosity Factor. I had to watch it. And it was the dumbest POS ever. But it was just awfully just disgusting.
I
think we got a break.
Yeah, I can't imagine. All right, but we have to end the Fantasy Cantina that way. 888-XM-FANTASY, 888-963-2682. Over the course of the next 45 minutes plus here, continue to answer all your fantasy questions as we get ready for week 4. We'll continue to break down the mayhem and the fallout from Monday Night Football, and also tell you more waiver wire to pickups this week. And we'll address coming up next how concerned we all are with the big injuries from this weekend. Spiller, Bush, Stafford, the Jets defense, more than that. It's NFL Fantasy Live, Series 210, XM87.
This is NFL Fantasy Live on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, Elliot Harrison from NFL Network and NFL.com here. It is NFL Fantasy Live, answering all your fantasy questions. The phone number is 888-XM-FANTASY, 888-963-2682. All the questions you need for fantasy dominance for week 4 and beyond are right here. And right now we're going to take care of some of the big injuries we saw from last weekend and how they will play going forward. Get back into Monday Night Football and tell you if you should pick up Golden Tate coming up in a bit. But guys, we saw 3 big stars get hurt on Sunday to different effects here. Well, actually, we saw 4. One is Darrelle Revis with the Jets defense, which we can get to in a bit. But we saw C.J. Spiller go down. And Spiller, it looked bad, his shoulder injury. However, Chan Gailey says he expects Spiller to miss at least this week, definitely, and then hopefully have him back in 2 weeks. Fred Jackson, practicing well ahead of schedule, is planning to come back this week. And now you have Tashard Choice, who would be the number one running back if Fred Jackson can't come back this week. Fabs, how do you handle the situation?
Very carefully. Let's put it that way. I don't think Spiller's going to play this week, which means if Fred Jackson practices throughout the week and he doesn't have any setbacks and he's not limited, Fred Jackson's the play. But it's a risky play.
Because
you don't know what sort of workload he's going to get as opposed to what they're going to use Tashard Choice. But remember, bye weeks, you've got Donald Brown out this week, the Steelers running backs, which aren't helping you, but potential flex option, at least in Donald Brown. And you're dealing with more committees based on injuries. In New York, Bradshaw was the guy. Guess what? It could be a committee there now in New York with Andre Brown playing so well over the last couple of weeks.
There'll be a committee with the Jets now, Sean Green, Bilal Powell.
Exactly. You read my mind. They're already talking about Sean Green losing some early down work to Bilal Powell, maybe even Joe McKnight. But Sean Green, he is what he is. He's not that good. Sorry, Jason.
You're not telling me something I don't know.
If you drafted him anything more than a flex option, then you were in trouble to begin with. But Jonathan Stewart's going to come back this week. So, okay, well, which one of these Carolina running backs do I start? Playing fantasy football at the running back position, especially at the running back position, has become harder than I can ever remember it being. Harrison, you know, remember the day when it was, Barry Sanders and Dorsey Levens and Emmitt Smith and Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson and Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson. And heck, what, life was good. You knew that your running back was going to get the lion's share of the carries unless he got hurt or the team was blown out and they rested him in the second half, which wasn't the typical scenario. Now, you may as well just throw coins in the air and whatever comes down. Oh, well, okay, well, I'll start Stewart this week. It's that difficult in a lot of these situations.
That's why I think it makes sense to play fantasy football with either 3 receivers or 2 flex or even 2 tight ends. I would even be fine with that. Because that relates to football reality a lot more than the 2 running back system does. I mean, I know no one wants to play in a 2 tight end league, right? But isn't that a lot more analogous to what's going on in the league right now?
There's actually a lot of leagues now where you start 1 running back and you have like 3 flex spots. So you can basically do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, one of my leagues is you just play 5 OPs. You know, whatever combination of guys you want.
You know what's interesting is, you know, on the other room of our podcast studio, I can see Darren Sharper's silhouette. And I tell you, the guy, he still works out. I thought that once you retired, you quit working out, you eat, you know, cheese puffs on your couch, maybe some oatmeal cream pies, you know, Am I crazy?
They don't make oatmeal cream pies anymore?
They do make oatmeal cream pies.
They do make them?
They do. I'm stocked with a couple.
By the way, we've got all kinds of former players here. Have you seen Heath Evans? He's like this. His biceps are bigger than my head.
Yeah, he trains a lot more than I do.
What's going on? Well, welcome,
hey, what's up, fellas?
Darren Sharper, who used to score a lot of fantasy points for us when he was playing with the Packers defense and the Vikings defense.
I played so long ago that they just started getting defensive fantasy points when I played. That's the first year they probably started doing that. But I think now defenses are more respected in the fantasy than it was when I started playing and was getting those points.
Well, the Seahawks were sure last night. And you won, right? Because Lynch didn't have 20
points. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't think he would.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm 3-0.
A lot of rookie quarterbacks are happy you're not playing because you had that season in 08 where rookie quarterbacks were you just went through and you just ripped right through them.
Yeah, I heard you,
and I can repeat the question.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
What'd you take? Like, how many rookie quarterbacks did you take to the house? Four?
Four. I think I had four. Should have been five, I believe. He wasn't a rookie. Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. I got him, and they called that back due to a penalty, and I'm still upset with my man Jonathan Vilma about that one because that one would have tied me with the record.
I thought that was against Sanchez.
No, that was against Eli. But Sanchez, I got him twice, and he was a rookie. Yep. And, you know, I just love to pray, and, you know, I can be part predator, and I like preying on young quarterbacks because of the fact that they didn't have the experience that older quarterbacks had as far as they didn't know how to use their eyes.
Right.
And I don't know what it was, but I played quarterback when I was young. So I just felt like I had a natural instinct to know what a quarterback was going with the football. And it worked well for me. I could read a guy's eyes and tell what they wanted to do.
I was so mad that because I was in the Jets and started out great, and you guys had started out great. We went, the Jets went,
and
they were playing well.
Win,
and I'm like,
you?
Yeah, we're going to get points here. And he threw that pick six, and I said, oh, that's it. Because you guys, once you got down by a touchdown or 10 points, that was it. Nobody was coming back.
I know.
Nobody
was
coming
back. That was a defensive struggle, and we won that one. That was a good, great game for us.
Man. We're going to have to break and come back with you here, but I do have some questions on last night's game.
Okay.
Specifically, I want to get your opinion as a former Packer. I'm just warning you right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Saints being 0-3, what's going on with their offense. Darren Sharper is here with us here at NFL Fantasy Live on Series 210 XM87.
NFL Fantasy Live brings you all the access and information from the NFL Network right to your radio on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio.
NFL Fantasy Live, Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, Elliot Harrison from NFL Network and NFL.com as we talk Monday Night Football and beyond, joined by Darren Sharper in here with us in studio hanging out. And I'll tell you, Darren, you know, number one topic of last night, obviously everybody is talking about it, it's the Monday Night game, the final play. Now, take me through this as a DB, because I would have to think a defensive back would be the most upset about this, seeing as how there's no way you could say Golden Tate ever had the football. I don't understand how that we call it that. Nobody can. Take me through what you saw on the play.
You know, initially when I saw the Hail Mary being thrown and I saw J.D. Jennings going up for the ball.
M.D. Jennings,
yeah. Excuse me. My first initial thought is, knock it down. That's all you have to do. And I'm a person that's, you know, cut and dry. X plus Y equals Z. You take out that Y, X does not equal Z. So you knock that ball down, you don't have to deal with all this. But since it's good for discussion, we'll talk about now how we're feeling. So you failed stats. Well, yeah. You know, so did I. I just had someone do my work for me.
I had the calculator, though, the little TI-81, the one that you could do all the cosine over.
But, you know, when I saw that, it just made me think, okay, it's so subjective. And we've seen a lot of plays from these referees come down to, did I see it one way? Did you see it another way? But people that watch football as much as we do, we look at the play and we see one guy who has control of the football, and even though another guy is touching, whether it's an inch of the football, touching the leather by an inch with one hand and maybe have another hand underneath but doesn't really have control, is it categorized as simultaneous? So you go to the rule book, and we can go to a court of law. You know, I would love to be a lawyer and go through this discussion and say, well, it is simultaneous. If you're sitting here right now, you holding on to your iPhone, put two hands on it.
Watch out, Elliot. You're going to ruin that
iPhone.
And
I touch it like this. No, who has it?
He still has the iPhone. You have your finger on it.
But both of us have it.
Well, because you're stronger than he is, I would take you in a fight.
But I have two hands on it.
My
and he has two
is
hands
bigger
on
than his.
Well,
iPhone.
It was more like Jennings had the ball and Tate had Jennings.
Yeah, you know
that's sort of what it was like, right?
But I mean,
that's what I tweeted last night.
But the thing about it that the referees they're coming from out of position. That's one of the theories of it too. So they didn't get a chance to see as Jennings had the ball at the apex of the jump, and as they come down, going to Tate's side, they started wrestling for it. By the time they come over, you see both guys with the football. Whether one guy has better position than the other, you don't know. Like you talk about who's stronger, the referee could have said, "Like, well, I think Golden Tate, if they continue to wrestle, will get this ball out." But it is simultaneous. So next thing you know, he rules touchdown. Everyone at home saw.
I know
Jennings with the ball initially.
How do you feel if you're the referee that actually did call that it was the touchdown, and he's getting his picture taken in all these different areas? You see it all over the site.
Boy.
But there was the other referee who actually didn't think it was a touchdown. Yeah. He was the correct. He made the correct call, and he's still probably getting killed all over the place because of the whole outrage.
And you know what gets me on it is that the misinformation that came out, because right after the game was over, we heard from officials that said possession can't be looked at for instant replay. We're like, oh, okay, well, so it's the bad call on the field, but they looked at it, the guy. But then we find out, no, you can look at possession in the end zone on instant replay. Yeah. So then suddenly it takes off again.
You can't overturn the rule, though, the ruling on the field. You can see what the possession was, but you can't overturn it. If they say it was a touchdown and you go to the booth, only thing they're trying to, I guess, make sure they verify is
that someone caught it.
Someone caught the ball.
And if
but
I'm
you
not
can't say who
and
had
if,
possession.
And if I'm not mistaken, the league stance on this had nothing to do with possession. They said it was the wrong call because it was pass interference.
Oh, that was that was
but
horrendous.
That can't be reviewed.
Yeah. Right, but also, I mean, how many of these Hail Mary scrums have you sort of been in your career?
Oh, boy.
Like, don't they bite and punch and everything
they
else?
They do it all.
Right?
They do it all. That's like, you know, going into a cave and, you know, a bunch of, well, I don't know, tigers, whatever. You're not coming out unscathed. You're not going to come out unscathed. You go into that jump ball at the end of the game when guys are trying to catch the football to win the game. I mean, they're pushing, clawing, scratching, doing whatever they can do, trying to get positioning. But the fact of the matter is that the execution of that play, and I go back to talk about the formula. If he knocks the ball down, the play is executed right. We don't talk about all this, and they win that game. We go through every Saturday morning. We go through this drill, last play of the game drill, Hail Mary drill, whatever you want to call it. And there's one guy who Jennings was. He's the jumper. He's the guy that's designated to go up and knock that ball down. The rest of the guys that come into the into the circle where the jump is going to happen box out. So you have defenders boxing out, and you have one guy that's designated as a jumper. Then offense guys, whatever they want to do, they're doing. But if you have that and you execute that right, as we saw the Giants do in the Super Bowl on the last play that Tom Brady threw, they all go up and knock the ball down, and it's over. You don't have a guy going up trying to catch the ball, because if you do that, you give the offense an opportunity to get their hands on it. You might get a carom, the ball might bounce up, and next thing you know, it could be like the Tennessee play in which the guy knocks it in the air. Guy catches it, and it's a touchdown.
It's basically two Hail Marys for a touchdown in 2 days.
Yeah, but
let me throw that to you. And we're talking with Darren Sharper here as we talk about the big play that ended Monday Night Football last night. Jason Smith, Elliot Harrison, Michael Fabiano, NFL Fantasy Live. Does that maybe play in his mind a little bit? Because that was a big highlight. Everybody saw the big knockdown, but Titus Young catches it, falls in the end zone. If you had seen that play, you know, going in, and then you were playing a game the next night, and then the Hail Mary comes. Does something instinctively say, no, catch it, because I saw this happen, and it didn't go that way?
No, not at all, because the Tennessee guy executed it wrong also. He's not the jumper. He's coming from the field of play. He's not in the end zone coming back forward to knock the ball down. That's what coaches always tell us. Move forward. Don't ever be backing up, because you're not going to be able to jump and get the force to get up as high as you possibly can. You want to be coming forward so that you jump up, knock that ball down. That linebacker was coming from the field of play. He was coming from covering somebody. I have no idea why he jumped up and tried to even put a hand on that football. So that was executed wrong too. It's one guy that's designated as the jumper. He comes from deep to short. Jumps up, knocks the ball down. Everyone else on the defense is boxing out in case he does knock it down, and the guy is a chance someone else might get it, and they knock it down again. So that's how it's supposed to be executed, and they did not execute it right.
I actually felt sorry for Jennings on this play, because I don't think he could have swatted the ball down. There are too many hands on it.
No, he was the highest guy, though.
Even if he pushed down on the ball, it would have landed in somebody. There were too many guys that had their hands. The way the ball – I mean, Russell Wilson threw a good Hail Mary, by the way, just FYI. No, there is a certain skill to throwing a Hail Mary pass.
The second thing is when he came down, his feet, he didn't land in a way where he could get any traction. Mm-hmm. If you're landing with the ball and somebody else is trying to wrestle it from you, if your feet have traction, you can push off on it and just jerk the ball out of their hands, because he clearly had better control of the ball. You know what I mean? But the way that they were lying down, there was no way he could really wrestle the ball away. You can't wrestle the ball away from somebody when you're flat on your back. You know what I mean?
I've been in that situation numerous times, and I think I have about 10 interceptions at the end of the half. Many times have I went up and I was in a crowd, I was able to catch it, control the football. Most of the times that I caught it, I was by myself. There's not been one time when I go up and it's in a crowd and I go and knock that ball down where someone catches it. That won't happen. If that does happen, that's one time it might happen in a century. So that's the chances of that happening are very slim to none. As far as when he gets the ball, now that takes a veteran knowledge to get the ball. Like you said, he has it, he has control, and he does not use his force to snatch it away. That's something that comes with experience. So if he is going to catch it and he does feel another guy on, have hands on the football, you are supposed to snatch, turn, do whatever you can, because you're not worried about controlling the ball. Then you just want to get it away from the offensive guy.
But he was also leaning forward, because like his jump was forward. So he catches the ball, but Golden Tate is kind of going straight up into him. So he's got more leverage, whereas he's kind of lost because he's left his feet. So now he's trying to grab the ball.
When you saw on a replay, who looked like they had more control over the football?
Oh, Jenny.
If I have more control of the football, I can snatch that ball out and no one's going to get it. The same thing if someone try to take some candy from you, if you snatch it, it's going to be gone. He's not going to hold. If I don't get it, he doesn't get it.
I will say that's this. That's the theory. If at the moment when they hit the ground, if the first thing that Jennings did was try to wrestle the ball away, then I think it would have changed the call on the field. But before we spend way too long in that one play, just one of the thoughts.
There's no such thing as spending too long on this play.
Just because we are a fantasy show, I thought the Packers' most effective player on offense last night was Cedric Benson. I think he's a good guy going forward. What did you think seeing that game?
I definitely agree with you on that, Elliot. I believe that Cedric Benson needs to be utilized more early and often. I think that's going to set up so much more that this team wants to do. The thing that the Packers get caught, and a lot of teams do, when you have an elite quarterback, you know that I can always lean on him to beat teams. And you have elite receivers. They have about 4 or 5 receivers on the Packers that could be starters in any team in the NFL. So Coach McCarthy, when he analyzes games and they go and study tape, he always thinks in the back of his head, I know Aaron can just pick these guys apart. So he can't go against his nature of wanting to utilize him as much. You have to really pull the reins in and just say, okay, I'm going to play smart football, open up the game a lot easier by running the football, make them a little bit tighter, make them linebackers come up, make those secondary guys get a little bit nosier so that I can utilize Aaron
Moore.
Make
the pass rushers think before they just peel after the quarterback.
And also get a chance to get the ball down the football field, make big plays. That's something we have not seen from this Packer team this year, is those long plays down the football field. And I think it's because teams are sitting back now. They don't expect the Packers to run the football. But the way they came out in the second half was a good sign for them. It will be interesting to see if they utilize that against the Saints, who we know have been like running through water. It's just been easy to rush the football against them.
Let's talk about your fantasy team. You said you're 3-0.
Yes, I am. Undefeated.
Okay. Who's on the squad?
Humble brag.
Who's on the squad?
My quarterback, I have Eli. I have Ray Rice. Great pickups. Tony Gonzalez, who's been very productive.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, he has. The ageless one.
Yeah.
My defense is the Texans. Mm-hmm. I have Baronis as my kicker.
You got to get rid of him.
Really?
Yeah, he's not that good. Not in fantasy anymore. You know what's funny with the kickers? Like, the young guys are putting up numbers like this. Justin Tucker in Baltimore.
Blair Walsh.
The kid's last name in St. Louis, Greg.
Zerline,
is that what it is? He's been really good, too.
Yeah. Well, he's been pretty productive for me so far. I think that
– what else you got?
You have Percy Harvin. Golden Tate, right? Golden Tate is your wide receiver?
I wish. He was golden. He was very golden. Percy Harvin, I just picked up Antonio Brown. Hopefully he can get into the end zone. He gets a lot of yards, but he doesn't really score.
You just picked up Antonio Brown?
Yeah. One of my friends, he thinks he's like a general manager for real. Like, he takes this serious. I mean, he's at work. Now, this is what you guys do, so this is your job. But he's at another job, and all he is thinking about is his fantasy lineup. He has done the most trades out of anyone in the history of our league. Through 3 weeks, I believe he has already executed 6 trades.
Oh, man.
Now, come on.
Wow. Now, he's definitely
trying. But he keeps getting guys to do it with him. I mean, he's traded like –
I love making trades.
Today, he tried
–
this is what he offered me today. He said, let me get Big Ben. I said, okay, who are you going to send me? And he said it under his breath, really? I was like, what? I can't hear you. Who? He said, really, really? I said, who is that? He said, really, the running back for the Patriots? I said, are you serious? You're going to offer me Steven Ridley for Ben Roethlisberger. I said, go ahead, send me the trade. I want to analyze it. Man, that's a waste of time.
So another let's stick on this New England Patriots backfield here for a second, because everyone, I think, in the fantasy world was shocked when Ridley was on the bench more often than not last week.
I was,
and it was
too.
Danny Woodhead who was carrying the load after Ridley in the first couple of games was the main ball carrier. And fantasy owners are always wondering, well, you know, how do I know when a certain situation like this is going to happen? And we tell them, we don't, unless we're in locker rooms and we see game plans coming up, right? They basically did what, Darren? They wanted a change of pace back, so they utilized Woodhead more than they used Ridley.
You know what I think it is? It's just the fact that's the Patriot way. And we've seen that in the history of Coach Belichick in the way they utilize their backs. Even you go back to the days when they had the big bruisers.
Corey Dillon.
Mm-hmm. They did not use him. They gave him at most 20 carries a game. And they also would use Kevin Faulk. So it was kind of a combination there. I don't know what it is, because like you said, you see Steven Ridley, and he was so effective in the early – those first two games, and then they go against Baltimore. You would think you want to have a guy that can pound the ball against the Ravens defense, and you use Danny Woodhead. But I saw that last year with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, because I had him on my team last year. And I was confused. I know he scored a touchdown, so I wasn't too upset. But then it was sometimes when – you know, he wasn't even getting any carries a game. And then when they got to the red zone, you put Danny Woodhead in to be your big back to score in the red zone. And mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense to me. But I, like you said, that's the only way you can assume or try to predict what they're going to do is just look at the trend and what they've done in the past and just think that's the Patriot way. They do not ever just lean on one back to be their main guy. They like to use a committee.
The only things that I could think of was that either Ridley had a really bad week of practice mm-hmm. or that they weren't doing as many two tight end sets because Winslow is new to the team. Maybe they play Woodhead more when they go multi-wide receivers, and when they do two tight ends, they go with mm-hmm. Ridley. In more of a power package. I couldn't figure it out either.
All right, it's NFL Fantasy Live. Jason Smith, Elliot Harris, and Michael Fabiano. Thanks to Darren Sharper for stopping by, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, man.
I look forward to talking to you when you're
you guys stay cool in the dungeon, man.
Coming up next, your final thoughts as you get ready for Week 4 in the NFL. Big guys to pick up for this week. Injuries to watch out for. It's NFL Fantasy Live, Series 210, XM87.
If you like the NFL, you're going to like NFL Fantasy Live on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio.
Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network, NFL.com here for all your fantasy needs. 888-XM-FANTASY is the number. Get you some free agent pickups. Talk about some injuries over the next few minutes here on the show. And Tim in South Carolina has a waiver wire question. Tim, what do you got for this week?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what do you got?
Man, it's crazy. I have to say real quick, you had Dennis Sharper on. I live in South Carolina, but I'm originally from New Orleans. I'm a big Saints fan, so it was pretty cool listening to him.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Well, I'm in the number two spot for my waiver. I'm in a 14-team league, so I'm trying to decide how strategic I want to be, if I want to wait or not. It's a half PPR. There's not much out there. Deshaun Choice. There's Lamar Miller. I'm probably that the Jets guy, Powell. He's probably out there. There's also Arizona D. I have Cleveland and Philly right now, so I consider that as an option.
Arizona's defense, absolutely.
Dude, I want you to do me a big favor. As soon as you hang up the phone, I want you to find Arizona defense on that waiver wire. I want you to drag your mouse and the little arrow over it and click submit like 500 times until you're absolutely sure that you got Arizona's defense. Because they're playing Miami this week, okay? They got the St. Louis Rams next week. That's two great matchups for the Cardinals defense right there, just right off the bat. You got to do that.
All right, so hurt real bad at running back, you would definitely use that waiver wire on Arizona then.
Unless there's somebody great on the waiver wire.
Here's the thing at running back. Okay, if LeSure is there, then you use it to grab him, but he might not be. Daniel Thomas... All right, Daniel Thomas did get the bulk of the carries, but he fumbled in the third quarter. He sat down. Lamar Miller came in, played down the stretch a lot. Tashard Choice, maybe for a one-week thing, he might get, you know, he might be a guy that carries the football because you don't know about Fred Jackson. Spiller looks like he's out. But, you know, those are guys you can – I don't know. You're not going to get the value you are if you're going to pick up the Cardinals
defense.
Yeah,
Ryan Williams I would pick up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Beanie Wells seems like he's a forgotten guy.
Yeah, I have Ryan Williams, Dave Wilson, I have Turbin, but my running backs pretty much have been starting as Foles and Hillis, and Hillis sucks and is not going to be playing probably.
Welcome to 14-team fantasy football.
Exactly.
If you want to take a shot in the dark and pick up Mike Goodson because Darren McFadden has a history of getting hurt, but other than that, when you're in a deep league, it's rough.
And Shot in the Dark, incidentally, was a great Ozzy Osbourne song.
Very good song.
Just saying.
It wasn't a good Pink Panther movie, but it was a good Ozzy Osbourne song. All right, let's talk. We're talking injuries here, guys. We talked about C.J. Spiller. Looks like he's going to miss a week. You know, Reggie Bush looks like he's going to miss at least this week. But right now he's officially questionable. Matthew Stafford left the game for the Lions on Sunday. You know, he got hurt running for a first down, then tried to run down a pick six. He came out. Sean Hill played really well.
I'm not starting Sean Hill.
Obviously. You're not picking up Sean Hill.
Nope.
He came in and threw for 170 yards and two touchdowns in about 8 minutes.
I'm not picking him up.
He's got a great matchup this week.
I'm not knee-jerking
Minnesota.
I think you could get Christian Ponder instead, and I'd rather go with Ponder, a guy that's going to have value going forward.
Fab's picking up Sean Hill?
I think he's a viable option if Stafford is out, for sure. I think Ponder is a more attractive option based on the matchup, and they're actually playing.
And I think Ponder is available.
But I think Sean Hill's definitely available.
No, I think Ponder's available.
He is, no doubt.
All right, you got a couple of guys available there. It's been Series 210 XM87, Jason Smith, Michael Fabiano, Elliot Harrison. This is NFL Fantasy Live, Sirius XM Sports Radio.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.